second. There we go.
You're growing your hair out.
I've got a little bit of a flow going right now. What do you think?
You really do. I like it. I do like it.
You know, it's a little all over the place, but
we're
trying.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Ben, when he was a tennis player, he had hair down to his shoulders, and you know, he looked like Fabio or somebody.
Doc, I don't know if you know this, but we've got specials running all week in the offices, and I don't know if you've noticed.
That's right, Mother's Day.
But
we've got
Mother's Day week specials going on all week. We're going to periodically put this up. If you guys have questions around these specials, let us know. We've got plenty of our team members in here tonight. We've got Montana, Carter. I'm sure we've got some others in there as well who can help you out. Barbara, what's up? What's going on? Angie's in here. Angie's in our Kingsport office. I need to stop in Kingsport. I should be there Friday, actually. All right, Doc, you ready to roll?
Speaking of Mother's Day, you know, I told a patient today, if there's anybody you should ever listen to for good advice, it's your mother.
You know what? I think
can you argue with that?
No, I cannot argue. I think we can stop the show right there. And I think
that's all we need to say. Let's forget the questions. That's all. You know, when people drop their microphone, it's all over.
That was a mic drop. This week and every week, listen to your mom, guys. Listen to your mom and girls.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day to all. And also, I got to say this, it is Nurses Week as well. Happy
That's
Nurses
right.
Week. We've got some absolutely amazing nurses at Performance Medicine. Montana's in here, who is amazing. Happy Nurses Week. We just had, let's see here, Robin was in here with Explain This and that episode on how to track ovulation. Happy Nurses Week to all the nurses out there. We appreciate you. You guys truly are the backbone of healthcare. Truly are.
True. I agree 100%.
All right, guys, let's get into it. I see Larry's in here. Larry, what's going on? Thank you for hanging out. So if you're new here, let me know. Let us know where you're listening from. Look at this. I love this. You know what? Lori's out there enjoying this while taking an outdoor walk. I think that's incredible.
I love that.
I love that.
That is great.
I love that, Lori.
There's nothing better than walking. As a matter of fact, you know, we walk every day at lunchtime, and then I try to hop on my bike. As you can see, I just got off my bicycle because the weather's so great. But did Ernie send you that picture of this is funny because Ernie and I took a walk as we do every day. Ernie's our physical therapist in the Kingsport office. And we were walking through this park, and so we just decided to get on the swing set. You know, like a kid's swing set. And Ernie started taking my pictures, and that he sent that to you today. That's me on the swing set today at lunchtime. Yeah, you got to bring your kid out, don't you?
You know what? I have to agree with you on this one. Like, I think like we talked a little bit about this with Jamie Winship and just the value of like laughter and, you know, not taking yourself so seriously. Katie was there. You know what? I'm putting this up there for Katie. Katie was there.
I don't know if she got on the swings or not. Ernie and I got on the swings, but I went so high, Ben, that, you know, when the chain starts to get slack in it and then I thought about jumping off and, you know, like you used to do as kids.
I'm so glad you didn't jump off. I'm so glad.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I knew I had to do the Q&A tonight, so if I got hurt, I didn't want to miss this. So.
You can't risk it. You can't risk it. Carter's going to be joining the walking crew tomorrow. I want to do the walking crew.
Oh, good.
I think this sounds fun. I want to maybe
the walking crew is fun. It really gets your day going. Walk at lunch. Walk in the morning, lunch, and then after work. Ride your bike, stretch, do something. It'll really invigorate your day.
Katie, I love the, what am I, chopped liver? That's got to be a movie quote. It has to be a movie quote. I forget what movie.
No, she does movie. Eat chopped liver every day. Katie eats chopped liver, so I guess she is chopped liver.
Speaking of that, you did an episode today on gut microbiome, where you do say microbiome. You know, you are literally what you eat, and you know, beef liver, of course, is like one of the most nutrient dense foods out there. What kind of brought on that topic for you? I know, you know, the gut obviously is something that, you know, you're passionate about and always have been, but that was like, you talked about fecal transplants. Like what kind of set you on that, that topic journey? Cause you've been studying the last couple of weeks for that episode.
Yeah. The idea came to my head because of a documentary I saw.
Yeah.
About fecal transplants and how your gut microbiome is so important in your health. It's just amazing what happens with, I was telling Katie, since she's an identical twin, that, and we do a lot of twin studies in medicine because they basically have the same genetics, but they took these twins and that were separated by distance and time, and one twin would get obese and the other one would be a normal weight. And what they did these experiments where they took the stool, the fecal transplants. When they transplanted the stool from the obese twin into mice, mice got obese. And when they transplanted the stool from the normal weight twin, nothing happened to the mice. So that is your gut microbiome directing your weight.
That's crazy.
And, that's just so interesting. It's crazy too, because they took a Parkinson's patient and transplanted his stool into a mouse, and that mouse developed Parkinson's symptoms. Is that not crazy?
Well, you mentioned,
This is going to be the future of medicine. I'm going to cure. I mean, we're already cure C. diff infections, you know, which is a terrible infection brought on by usually antibiotics. And they cure that. It's about 95-98% curable with a fecal transplant, which is crazy.
You know what? I don't know about you guys. We got 45 with us right here live. Are you guys pumped about that? For me, like, that excites me. You know, learning stuff like that is so exciting. And one, it makes me feel like there is a little more control. You mentioned in the episode you can't control your genes. But you can, you do have control over your gut microbiome. We talk a little bit about how to do that in this episode. But documentaries like that, stuff like this, you know, the fecal transplants that you're talking about and the twin studies, I don't know. I find that so encouraging.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, 99% of your DNA in your body is not your DNA. It's your bacterial, the bacteria that inhabits your body's DNA. 99% of it.
It's wild.
Only 1% of it is what you're born with. So
it's wild.
Just interesting. We better get to the questions. I'm kind of riffing a little bit.
All right, we're going for it. I see Dave's in here. Dave, what's going on, man? Great to see you. Loretta, I see your question. Great question. If you have questions for Doc, go ahead and put them in the comments. We'll get should get to all of them tonight. Let's start with, let's see here. This is a fun one. Any insight on light therapy, PEMF, hot cold therapy for cancer, specifically lymphoma? Interestingly enough, you and I, we talked a little bit about like a, you know, what would you do scenario type things, and talk a lot about, you know, what you would do if you had cancer. What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. You know, I like light therapy for a lot of things. Pulse electromagnetic field therapy uses magnets that are electrified. And it's, you know, they're great for you, but mostly in calming down inflammation. You know, I don't know enough about it to tell you to go for it for lymphoma or not. It's not going to hurt it, that's for sure. I love hot cold therapy for a lot of things, stimulating your immune system. So in theory, it would work. It may help you. It's just one of those many things that you need to do to combat cancer if you're faced with that. So I can't tell you of any studies for PEMF on lymphomas, but I'm sure it's out there. And sure, it may be one little adjunctive therapy that you could use for any kind of cancer, along with the other stuff that we do, like ketogenic diets, all the things we do, artemisinin, fenbend, you know, all the alternative stuff, as well as the traditional things for for cancer. But yeah, so, you know, oxygen therapy, hyperbarics, you know, all that kind of stuff, I think probably contributes to healing. But you can't go claiming that it's going to cure a lymphoma, but it certainly could be one of the adjunctive therapies for it.
Thank you so much for that question. Came in over Instagram. Let us know. Let us know, you know, how things are going. We certainly appreciate you asking the question. Let's get to this one here. I know you're fine with a 1 week break from all supplements. What about 2 weeks? I'm traveling for 2 weeks with a carry-on, so do not really have room for all these vitamins. A common question, you know, around vacation. What's your thoughts on this? Because I know you say to build in weekly with, you know.
I think it's fine. Okay. I think it's fine. I'm not going to hurt you. This is a long-term gig. You know, this is for life. If I was to bring one with me, it'd be a D with a K. You know, but you should use a super multi. I mean, because it has about everything you need in it. So you wouldn't have to carry much for sure. Just take a little. I usually pack just the essentials because I take a lot of vitamins. But now that, you know, we've synced it down to the super multi that has all that great stuff and the great doses, you could probably just take a super multi, but it's not going to hurt you to miss a couple of weeks at all.
Very practical question. Thank you so much for sending that in over email. This one's around long COVID, struggling to heal. What are some good supplements to help? Also, is DigestShield safe for histamine or MCAS issues? Does any of your offices help with mast cell issues? Goes on to say, seems to be a lot of this since COVID, which I've developed from long haul COVID. So
yeah,
let's see. I'm going to put this back up here and I'll let you answer that first one. I know you've got a little bit of a cocktail for this.
Yeah, you know, we see long COVID all the time. Matter of fact, it reminded, when I got home today, I forgot to tell one of my patients that still wasn't tasting very well or smelling to try a nicotine patch for that. Sometimes that'll help. but, you know, mast cell activation syndrome is something that can be really serious and tormenting. And it's something that's hard to diagnose. You got to get some weird test to really kind of halfway diagnose it. Sometimes you can deduce that that's what it is. It's severe allergy type symptoms from your, not only from your sinuses, but from your digestive system as well. But you know, there's a lot of things you could do for histamine. Certainly DigestShield is safe for MCAS. It helped because it tends to be very anti-inflammatory. But you know, the things that help mast cell activation syndrome that come to mind, there's a whole array of them. I mean, gosh, you can start out with anything that decreases inflammation, like turmeric, MSM, you know, things I use for arthritis as well, I think helps. And certainly DigestShield would be good for the gut part. But, you know, I like to use a lot of like antihistamines. I don't use so much Benadryl and Vistril as much as I do the second generation of them, like Zyrtec and Claritin, Allegra. They have less side effects, less sedation, although Zyrtec can make it a little bit drowsy. But I like those. I like Singulair, which is one that we use for that. I think it's pretty effective, 10 milligrams at night. I also like to use the H2 blockers like Pepcid. I think that helps a lot. Look at what may be triggering it. It could be foods. But once it gets going, it can be a pretty, you could struggle a lot with that. I mean, even if you end up using steroids, I mean, sometimes I'll calm it down with low-dose prednisone. And they even use monoclonal antibodies for it too if it gets really serious. But sure, we see that in our office. People that come in with MCAS usually have seen a bunch of other doctors and really didn't recognize it, what it was. So it's not as uncommon as you might think. But yeah, come in to let us help you if we can.
Great question. I hope that helps a little bit. I'm going to put this this up here, one, because I didn't want to forget it. And I hope they're with us tonight. There was a listener who asked about Durkheim's disease, and what we try our hardest to do is we're not going to talk about anything that we're not sure about. So we did some research, and Doc, why don't you just talk a little bit about this and hopefully help this listener out?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it, but when they described it, it's kind of like neurofibromatosis. Another word for that is von Recklinghausen's disease, which is going to be really severe, lead to a lot of neurologic problems. But I did look that up, and it turns out it's somewhat similar in that you get, instead of these fibromas like you get in von Recklinghausen's disease or neurofibromatosis, you get more of, just fatty tumors like lipoma type things, which we see quite often in the office. But Durkheim's is more severe in that all these lipomas are painful. And, there's no great treatment, no real known cause, but you can get them cut out. You can have them excised. That's what a lot of people do, and it can even cause a little bit of neurologic problems, more probably, because of the pain and the disability. A lot of people get disabled with Durkheim's, but and it's extremely rare though. And looking it up, but so you can get surgical excision of these things. Anything you do to calm down the inflammation would help, just like we talked about with some of the other stuff. If it was me, I'd certainly try something like low dose naltrexone in case it's has an autoimmune type etiology. Certainly wouldn't hurt, but that can be a very painful, debilitating condition. Very rare though.
I
hope that helps.
Yeah, I'm gonna put this. So Kelly is in here, and I knew Kelly with an I. That I knew there was like a reason that we did not forget this, and it's Kelly with an I is in here. So thank you, Kelly, for letting us know, and I hope that helps. Seems that she heard as well that LDN could be a good med to try.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's one I would definitely try.
That's awesome. Thank you, Kelly. I see Robin Riddle's in here. Robin, what's going on? Robin's video on how to track ovulation is up live, so make sure you share with a future mom who could really benefit from that video. Thank you, Robin, for being with us tonight. All right, let's keep going here. Where am I at? So that was the Durkheim's update. Okay, let's go to a peptide question. I've purchased tesamorelin 6 milligrams combined with CJC 1295, 3 milligrams, and ipamorelin 3 milligrams for a total of 12 milligrams. I'm very active with CrossFit and height 6'5", weight 285. Context is, would like to drop another 30 pounds while building lean muscle mass. Crazy, I know. What would the correct dosage be mixed with 3.5 milliliters of BAS water, bass water?
Probably just sterile water. Again, I don't know what cross mixed with 3.5. You'll have to figure that out with the pharmacist. But you got a triple play there. I love my favorite CJC 1295 with ipamorelin. When I could get it, that's what I took. It's getting very hard to get. The FDA does not like ipamorelin. I love ipamorelin. You can still get somorelin. And I think you can still get tesamorelin. I don't know where you're purchasing it. You may be able to purchase it through something like off the internet, through Peptide Sciences or somewhere. How legal it is, I don't know. But right now we can't get the ipamorelin and a lot of other peptides that we really like from our compounders are scared to make it because the FDA comes down on them. But, you know, I don't know why you need both tesamorelin and ipamorelin. I mean, they're both growth hormone releasing hormone, and the, those are both secretagogues, but the CJC-1295 is what is a growth hormone releasing hormone. So in other words, they do work well in combination. Those two peptides work, one of them to kind of release it, the other one to have the secretagogue to have the action on the pituitary to release more growth hormone, which is certainly beneficial. I love it. You know, without the side effects, possible side effects you'll get with real growth hormone, which is illegal anyway and prohibitively expensive. So I think the dose, probably the reason, because what I've seen is a little bit lower dose of tesamorelin, like maybe 1.5 milligram, 1 to 1.5, if I remember right. And the CJC and the IPA, that seems like a pretty low dose to me. I think the one I had was, seems like it was about 15 milligrams of CJC and 9 of the IPA. But you know, so your total may be kind of close to that anyway. But I'm certainly not against it. You know, it may be overkill to take two of the growth hormone releasing hormones. But yeah, you can, when you mix it with 3.5, I don't know, you're going to have to go to a calculator like Robin says here for me to just off the cuff guess at that. I wouldn't do that, but
I'll
because you want to get the dose right.
I'll put this up from Robin just for people who are interested in peptides. And for this listeners, thank you, Robin, for putting this up there for us. PeptideCalc.com is helpful for calculating this. So thank you for putting this in there, Robin. I'm going to put that question back up.
That's a great comment, Robin. But yeah, you know, like them all. You know, when my last dose of the IPA runs out, I'll probably just use tesamorelin. I think it's more potent than somorelin. And certainly, I know a lot of people make the sublingual, but I just don't find it to be it just doesn't work as good like the injectables. But it's a good goal. And again, I'm glad you're losing weight and gaining muscle, because that's the problem, you know, because a lot of people lose weight, they lose muscle as well, especially if they're using, you know, semaglutide or, you know, one of the others, tirzepatide, because you can lose muscle with that. So you need to study on how not to lose muscle when you're losing weight. And you're very active, which helps. You're lifting weights, and you know, you're probably taking protein, which you need. And that's a good, very good goal. I'm very happy. I think you're on the right track. I really do. And also, of course, you'll check your hormone levels, your testosterone and estradiol levels, and go from there. But sounds like a great goal.
I'm just going to put this up here from Robin again. For those who want to write that down, peptidecalc.com. For the YouTube people, you can see that in the comments on Facebook. All right, let's keep going here. This is I love this one. Happy Healthy Hair question. I really want to try Happy Healthy Hair, but I read that Anagain is like minoxidil in that if you use and then stop, someday you may actually lose the hair again and possibly even more. Have you seen this at all or haven't had it long enough to know? Great, great question. Anagain is kind of the, you know, what we call the special ingredient in Happy Healthy Hair. What's your thoughts on this one?
I put a lady today on minoxidil and a little bit of tiny dose of finasteride. She's not of childbearing age. So, and certainly we're seeing a lot of hair loss through COVID and, you know, stress and everything else. So first of all, make sure your thyroid is good, healthy, optimal, and that your ferritin levels are okay. You're not anemic. And just make sure you get something like a Cleveland pound. Look at your estrogen levels in general. Hair loves estrogen. It's not real fond of testosterone, especially if it's converting to dihydrotestosterone. And certainly that's what the finasteride does, is block that down. But yeah, you know, again, it's, I haven't had it out long enough to see, but it's kind of like anything, you know, if you stop using it, you're going to go to your baseline. You know, I can't imagine it's going to make you lose any more hair, but you know, kind of like what we've learned about, you know, some of the weight loss shots that we've prescribed, like semaglutide, tirzepatide. You know, you will definitely lose weight with them. And be careful that you don't lose muscle too, because you can if you don't do it right. But, you know, what we know is that you always look at the benefit risk ratio. And, you know, because people ask me all the time, what are the long-term effects of, you know, the semaglutide? And you go, well, you know, it could cause some GI upset. It could cause constipation, but so far in these line of medicines have been out for 10 years. What most of the side effects are way less heart disease, less liver and kidney disease, probably less dementia. I mean, everything good, really. I'm not worried about Anugain hurting anybody. You know, it's just in minoxidil I like in pill form, that's Rogaine. I just don't think it works real well on your head. You know, it works better orally. But the lady I started on today, she has low blood pressure anyway, so you got to watch your blood pressure with. I started her on half of a normal dose. So, yeah, I'm not really worried about losing your hair again. I mean, a lot of times, you know, hair grows in cycles. And, you know, for whatever reason, it kicked that cycle of hair loss off, prolonged cycle of hair loss, which could have been stress. It could have been a medicine. You know, hopefully you get that straightened out and, you know, everything else is going good and you'll stay healthy. But, you know, we just haven't, it's not been out long enough in our happy, healthy hair for 10 years to see, you know, if there's any problem. I just can't imagine you would, you know, stop taking it and go bald. That's just not going to happen. But it's a great question.
Yeah. I love this question. One, because, you know, I can kind of hear the principle, that you're talking about that can be applied to, you know, so many other things, regarding your health when talking about medicines or vitamins and hormones.
Like, yeah. There's an interesting conversation that I overheard. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but it bears retelling because it's so interesting to me. Jenny was in hot yoga, which she does 6 days a week, and she overheard two ladies talking. They were in their early 50s, both going through menopause. And she just overheard her talking. One of them comes to see us, and all the symptoms are gone. All the hot flashes, night sweats, feels great. The other lady was asking her about it, you know, and she was telling all the benefits and all. And the lady that was just starting going through it said, I'm just miserable. You know, I'm having all these hot flashes, night sweats, mood changes. I'm miserable. But I just think I'm going to tough it out. And I thought, why? You know, that just dumbfounded me. I'm just going to tough it out. That's just, I don't want to say what it is, but it's kind of just ignorance of hormones. And it's so common. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, doctors just don't know enough about it or talk about it. It's just dumbfounding to me. You know, we were eating dinner with some friends, and one of the ladies was asking me, that was my age, something and about her health. And I go, have you looked at your hormone levels? And no, never even heard about it, you know? So it's just crazy how much non-information and misinformation is out there. Why would you want to tough that out? I mean, why would you want to get old soon? And that's the reason I'm saying this is because I listened to two podcasts this past weekend. One was on female heart disease, mm-hmm. You know, and it was three female cardiologists talking about heart disease. And again, they went over all the things you could do to prevent it and all this, and why women caught up quickly with men after 50, after menopause. So they talked a little bit about hormones. You could tell they just had a tiny bit of knowledge about it. And these were three Ivy League type cardiologists. I mean, and they were, you know, really sharp, but didn't have much knowledge about hormones, obviously. But they did say that, you know, there's a lot of evidence that estrogen does protect your heart, you know, which we know for sure. And as long as well as a bunch of other stuff, but they said, but stop when you reach age 65, you know, just stop it at age 65. Like, you're thinking, why would they say that? Because especially in life, you're not keeping up, because just this past 2 weeks ago, there's a huge article, huge study that was published in PubMed. One of the biggest, most authoritative publications we have as doctors, PubMed. And it was also in the journal Menopause. And in that study, huge study, this study focused on women taking hormones after age 65. And everything good, less heart disease, less AFib, less DVT, I mean, less cancer, less breast cancer. I mean, it's just incredible findings. I'm going to do a podcast on it, on the results of that trial. But just, it's just, I get on my high horse about this. But yeah, so something like this, I wouldn't worry about. You know, something about stopping my hormones, I would worry about. Don't stop them, keep taking them. Same thing I will tell you about the happy, healthy hair. You're not in any danger by stopping that.
No, it's such a good question. And again, kind of going back just to the principles of it, and the hormone example is such a good example. I hope
yeah,
you guys,
your hair is going to get thinner as you get older anyway. Your hair is going to naturally get thinner as you get older.
Yeah.
And hopefully with the use of the other stuff, the things you can do to help you, stay on it.
Yeah.
You know?
With any of these, and I'll ask this and then we'll move on. Any concerns, because hopefully this will help the listener here. Any concern with like getting, what do you call it? When you use something over and over again, tolerant
nah.
to it. Okay.
No. Nah.
Cause I know that's a concern for vitamins, for even hormones.
Yeah. That's why, you know, just do it 6 days a week in case you're worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, but usually you're going to miss a day anyway, just forgetfulness. But
man, great questions that came in throughout the week. Thank you guys so much. That really just it makes our week to see the questions, and it really gets our show going, as you can see, in such a good direction. If you guys have any questions regarding what Dr. Oz was just talking about, it's the perfect place to do it. We're going live with our questions here going into the comments. You know, obviously, you know, these are big concerns. You know, like if you start something, I see a berberine questions in the comments. Like if I start berberine, do I have to stay on it forever? And same questions around semaglutide.
Great question. Maybe not. I mean, if you start eating a lot less carbs and doing some of the other stuff, you may not have to. You know, but again, remember, berberine is going to lower your cholesterol. It's going to lower your blood pressure. It's going to lower your insulin resistance. So a lot of it depends on where you're at, you know, with your weight, with your lifestyle, with your exercise, with your eating, you know. So
well, one thing I do want to put up, because I'm pretty sure my man's not going to get off methylene blue because he's not even getting carded anymore. You know, when he goes out, he's not even asking for anymore.
I thought he would be getting carded.
He's getting carded. Great. He's getting carded. I read that wrong.
Oh, he's getting carded. I thought, yeah, I can believe it, Morgan. That's amazing.
I love it.
And you know, everybody knows Morgan anyway.
I know.
He's got the TV face and voice.
I've
got the face for radio. You know, Morgan's got the face for TV and radio.
He's got the TV plus the radio voice.
Yeah,
plus
not
the
many
face.
People have that. Yeah.
Morgan, thank you so much, man, for the kind words there. Oh, what did I hear? I missed something there. Are you hearing that?
No.
Dirty dog, Raven.
What are you hearing?
I don't know. My earphones are acting up. I'm hearing stuff. Okay. Dirty dog stuck
in the mud. Maybe you're kind of going crazy. You're supposed to be reading these questions. They don't come in through your earphones, do they?
I don't know what that was. That was crazy.
Maybe you're getting hacked. Are you playing music or?
Let's keep going. I've got a clear ear now. Okay, let's get to. I want to put that berberine question up because they just came by the office. I'm going to try to find that, and then we'll keep going in order. Let's see. All right, not finding it. All right, I'll find the berberine here in a second. I'm going to get to a question so we can get moving here. All right, Loretta's asking a lot of commercials about Omega XL and how it helps the pain and inflammation. Is that what the omega-3s target?
One thing, you know, definitely if you're looking for something that will help inflammation and pain, omega-3s are near the top of the list. But yeah, I mean, of course I love omega-3s, but it does so much more than just target inflammation. I mean, it lowers triglycerides. It helps promote your cell wall formation. It helps your brain. You know, I've said before, right behind D with K, omega-3s are my next favorite supplement. So yeah, I mean, and again, get your omegas checked. I mean, we check that with the Cleveland panel. We see where all your omega-3s are in relation to your omega-6, the more inflammatory type omegas like linoleic acid, which you don't want high. So yeah, it definitely is part of a good anti-inflammatory regimen, for sure.
Thank you, Loretta, for that. And you might have already watched the dive into diet episode with Lucas. He dives into omegas pretty deep in that episode if you want to learn more. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's go to Angie from our Kingsport office. What would you recommend for EPI? Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. Love this question.
You know, I wish you'd asked me that at work so I could have researched some, Angie. I'll definitely, you know, would probably definitely take some pancreatic enzymes, you know, which is in digestive enzymes, in other words, which is in digestion, which I love so much. Sometimes that, you know, it can be serious enough to where you may have to take some heavy hitter prescription type pancreatic enzymes. But that's an interesting question. Good question, though.
Thank you, Angie. You know what? I love it. I love it when our team stumps the doc. I love this. So what we're going to do is
we have your endocrine glands and you have your exocrine glands, and that's one of the exocrine. Sweat glands are also an exocrine gland. But yeah, really, really interesting. But digestive enzymes and a great diet, and you know, a lot of it depends on how your gallbladder is functioning and how your gut microbiome, that's how that comes into play as well. But great, good question.
Thank you, Angie, for putting that in there. I'm going to get to Megan's. This is a comment. I stopped by Dr. Raj's office today and got some berberine. All right. Let us know how that goes. Megan, if there's anyone in here in the comments who has been on berberine, had great results, let us know in the comments and help Megan out there. Thank you, Megan, for putting that in there. I'm going to go. I see you over on Instagram. Christine is asking, before I have the Cleveland Clinic panel drawn, should I be fasting? Great question, Christine. What's kind of your go-to for this?
Preferably, just because that's the standard kind of. But, you know, I don't mind getting a non-fasting Cleveland. Sometimes I prefer it. So as long as we know whether you're fasting or not, because, you know, sometimes I like to see what's going on with your insulin level after you eat. So for standardizing tests, we just say, just come on in fasting, black coffee or water. But at other times, you know, I'll get it when it's non-fasting and, get as much or maybe even more information about it. I don't know who invented this thing about fasting labs, but and made it the standard, thinking that, well, this is the only way to check a lab. It's not true. It's not true. It's probably more functional not to do it fasting, but just for baseline. And, you know, if you ever share it with another doctor, they may say, well, you weren't fasting. Well, heck, my sugar still jumped up to, you know, 169, and my insulin level is high, as long along with my C-peptide. You know, my, you know, it won't, probably won't affect some of your subparticles on the lipid panel, but I would say, just for routine, usually fasting if you think about it, but if not, don't worry about it. Still come in for it. There's so much information on that, that you know, I know in a lot of European nations, they don't check fasting labs. They just check labs.
Now, just for clarification, if someone does come in for a Cleveland to our office or anybody's office, and they have not been fasting, they need to tell them that they have not been fasting, right? Because that could affect the weight.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, and tell the provider when you go over it, I wasn't fasting.
Okay.
So that's fine.
All right. Thank you for that that question, Christine, over on Instagram. I see Raleigh's over there on Instagram, Sped Tech. What's going on, guys? Great to see you guys over there on Instagram. Thank you all for hanging out. Just so you know, I am looking at the comments on Instagram. I just can't put them over into my screen here. So I'll just have to, read those out loud. Let's get to Roel, over on YouTube. I believe he's on Instagram too. Doctor, I'm about to start to take, testosterone cypionate, 200 milligrams. Should I also increase my omega-3? And also going to start taking Losartan, 25 milligrams. Any words of wisdom? Huge shout out to Roel. This, proud of you, man. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm glad you're getting on it. Words of wisdom, always listen to your mother. although she probably doesn't know much about testosterone. So, yeah, words of wisdom. That's an average good dose of testosterone. And most people take the cypionate. Some people I put on the nathate, but yeah, I mean, I'm glad, you know, but in about 6 to 8 weeks, make sure you check your levels again, see where you're at, and try to check it a week after you take one of your shots, not the day after or 2 weeks later, about a week afterwards, and check, you know, things we watch out for, of course, are your hemoglobin, hematocrit. It can pop them up a little bit. You know, if it gets too how we have you donate some blood. Also have, you know, you need to look at your estradiol level as well. Increasing omega-3s, I don't know if you need to do that or not, just depending on what your levels are. But it can't be a bad idea. And Losartan 25, I don't know if you're doing that because you're thinking you need some protection from the testosterone. That may be what you're trying to do. But here's what I will tell you. Testosterone does not cause heart disease. It prevents heart disease. It's only if your estrogen level got super high or your blood got too thick that you should start worrying about anything. That's easy to take care of. But, so if your blood pressure's up or you're a diabetic, you can, you know, a low dose of Losartan like that may be helpful, you know, in protecting kidneys and things like that. But I hope you're not thinking about those two just to protect your heart against testosterone. Surely not. I don't know where you've heard that, but probably from a cardiologist, but it's not true. So you don't really need to do that just because you're on test sip. You know, the next thing you'll be doing is taking a statin, which you don't need because of testosterone either. And again, I use statins sometimes, but not because I'm starting somehow on testosterone. So, Roel, that may be, I'm not sure if that's the reason you're starting those all at the same time, but it'd be kind of nice to know if that's why you're doing it, or, you know, all of a sudden you're having problems and need to get on, your triglycerides are high, or your blood pressure's up or something like that. But don't do it just because you're taking testosterone, you know, in my opinion.
Roel, thank you so much for that question, brother. I see Danielle. Great.
That is a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that before.
Thank you, Roel. Love that. Love that topic. If there's any more questions about that, let us know in the comments. I see Danielle's with us on Instagram. Thank you, Danielle, for joining us. I'm going to put this up because I love putting up wins. D. Lynn saying, I've been on berberine for a while, A1C down to normal, and I've lost 20 pounds. Just switched to the dihydroberberine today. Amazing. Thank you, D. Lynn, for putting that in there for us. Real quick, I'm going to put this up because for the people that are with us live, we're doing a little coupon discount for our e-commerce vitamin store every single Tuesday. This changes. This week, it is Tuesday 10 for a 10% discount on all the vitamins on our e-commerce store. There we go. You can also scan that. There's our vitamins there, Digest Shields on the store as well. So 10% off if you use Tuesday 10. And you have until Thursday at midnight, until that goes away, and then we'll do a new one next week. Thank you, team, for that. Let's keep moving here. I want to get to all the questions we can. If I'm missing somebody, let's see where I'm at. Okay, I do not think I'm missing a question. If I'm missing somebody, let me know. Put it at the end because I sometimes will miss them. Okay, we might be towards the end of the show. I'm not seeing a question. If you have a last-minute question for Dr. Rogers, go ahead and put it in the comments. Until then, I'm going to put this up for all those who are close to an office. We're doing our second biggest sale of the year. For Mother's Day, it's happening all week, May 6th through the 12th. So you got a couple more days left. Call the office closest to you. You can prepay. Prepay options are available. So please check that out. Take advantage of it if this is something you're already doing. Let's see here. Where are we at? All right. If we have any more questions. I'm seeing that's definitely not a question on YouTube. Let's see. Oh, nice. D-Lynn's got all the wins today. I also started taking the performance medicine brand of magnesium. Sleeping better. That's awesome, D-Lynn. Thank you. Thank you.
We're not paying D-Lynn to say that, but thank you. That's our purpose. We hope it helps you sleep.
Thank you, D-Lynn.
Good.
Pop, what a show tonight, man. This was awesome.
We did good, Ben.
There's the store. You can scan there with your phones if you're on a phone or on a computer. I'll put the discount code up one more time for those interested. Tuesday 10 is the discount code for the next 48, 62 hours. I believe midnight Thursday. All right, I think this is a serious question. What is the best supplement for longer life? Do you have any like longevity type, any supplements that kind of help with longevity that you can think of? I know it's general.
Well, you know, we have our longevity vitamin that you can put up there that has what I think is good. But yeah, you know, a lot of what I study is longevity. And I was just listening to at lunchtime today to Dr. Atiyah's, you know, myths and facts about longevity supplements. And they're very interesting. He went all the way from, I think he categorized them as, you know, a waste, maybe not, but not proven, probably good and definitely good. So, you know, there's a lot of things. You can put my longevity vitamin up there, but I think most people would tell you resveratrol is good for longevity. You know, I like astragalus, which I put in there. That's the same ingredient you get in a very expensive supplement called TA65. That's really expensive. So I got the raw astragalus, and that's why I put that in there. But let's see what else. Apigenin is in there, which I think is a really good one for telomere length. And I've also put nicotinamide riboside. He talks a lot about whether that, you know, to pop up your NAD levels, which is tied so into metabolism. So I really like our longevity vitamin.
Yep.
You know, it's not a cheap vitamin, but it's loaded. I mean, I put everything in it, and I think that's a really good longevity supplement. a prescription medicine that I use a lot. I wrote somebody a prescription today for it, is rapamycin. And certainly when you listen to Atiya, who's a fairly young guy compared to me, he's like 52 years old. He's been on it for 5 years. My ultimate aging, astragalus, nicotinamide riboside, and apigenin. Yeah, those are my three biggies that I'll really like. And I do like resveratrol as well. You can get that anywhere.
Apigenin and parsley.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Apigenin is great for sleep too. That's why I take my formula at night. But yeah, you just hand it to me. Ultimate. Can you see that?
The ultimate.
That's funny you ask that question, because I do like this formula. And then look at resveratrol, so there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. And again, nothing's going to replace eating right, exercising daily, getting a good night's sleep, especially if you have, obstructive sleep apnea, keeping stress levels down, and then hormones, hormone balance.
I want to get this from
Deb. I've got the dogs here, Ben.
Let's get this question from Deb, and then we'll get the dogs up. The question is, what is your recommended treatment for painless ganglion cyst? Am I reading that right?
Oh, ganglion cyst? If it's in your wrist or anywhere, really, they're the dogs. Now, Izzy had a painful wart in her mouth a few months ago, and is an interesting cure that she got. But now I've told the story before, but if it's painless, it's not bothering you, don't do anything. I've sucked them out with an 18 gauge needle before and they come back. You can, if you get it excised, so don't drain them. They used to call it the Bible cyst, where you just smash a Bible on it, or the biggest book in the house, and it'd go away. It won't. So you could get it surgically removed if you want to, but if it's painless, if it's not bothering, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But if you get it sucked out with a large gauge needle or drained, it's going to come back. You have to really get the whole thing. Izzy.
I love it.
Izzy loves the spotlight. So just if it doesn't bother you, don't you have to do anything about it. That weird story I was going to tell you about Izzy was, she had a wart, what looked like an obvious wart, that was getting bigger and bigger on her gum. So I told Jenny, she needs that cut off or, burned off or something, because it's getting big, obvious too. And so she takes her to the vet and comes back, brings her home that night. I said, did they burn that wart off or get rid of it, excise it? And she goes, no, she said it was caused by a virus, and you get this prescription filled at the pharmacy, and it'll go away. So I went down to the pharmacy and got the prescription. It was for Zithromax, an antibiotic, and I thought to myself, what? This is an antibiotic for a wart, which is caused by a virus. But I gave it to her anyway. Guess what?
Don't go away.
It went away.